I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
SportsTownChicago.com. Lombard, part of the Be On Air Network and available on the TuneIn app.
Hell yeah.
Broadcast home for your Windy City Bulls and the Chicago Dogs. We're in a league of our own. Now, here's your SportsTownChicago.com scoreboard update.
I'm Tyler Biederbaugh here with your SportsTownChicago.com update powered by the Illinois Media School. If you're interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com. Da Bears fell to a friendly foe in Matt Stafford with the Rams in Week 1's matchup 34-14. Andy Dalton took the lead in the quarterback position, throwing 27 for 38, 206 yards, and an interception. But we did see a couple glimpses of Justin Fields as he ran into the end zone. Bears host their home opener next Sunday against the Bengals, kickoff at noon. Despite the sweep the Cubs faced against the Giants, Chicago greeted a fellow hometown hero with Chris Bryant in his debut against the Cubs with his new team. Here is the man himself on how he felt coming back to Wrigley.
It was just more than I expected. I kind of knew it would be like this, but yeah, I kind of got the best of me. It was kind of hard to play a baseball game after that, for sure. But I really appreciated it. When I first started my career here, I don't know if I could have ever dreamed of like having that type of reception. The fans welcoming me back like that. Definitely something that is one of the highlights of my career so far.
They will start their series with the Phillies tomorrow. First pitch at 6:05. The White Sox won the Battle of the Sox, taking the series 2-1 against the Red Sox with last night's victory 2-1. Craig Kimbrell with the help as he takes the win with one inning played, one earned run, and two strikeouts. Sox will play the Angels tomorrow, first pitch at 7:10. And in other news around the NFL, the entire NFC North starts off the season 0-1 as the Packers get picked apart by the Saints, losing 38-3. The Vikings come up short in OT with the Bengals losing 27-24. And the Lions fell to the 49ers 41-33. Last game of Week 1 is tonight as the Ravens face the Raiders, kickoff at 7:15. And this has been your SportsTownChicago.com update powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com.
And now, the greatest sports talk radio show going today. That's right, Blow the Whistle. With your host, Brandon Stats Januska.
The White Sox are all in. They need to at least make it to the American League Championship Series. And even that might not be enough.
Tyler Butterball Butterball.
Lonzo Ball, he's one heck of a playmaker. And he's going to set these guys up open. He's going to set up LaVine, now DeRozan, Vooch. He's going to be able to set these guys open. And last year, 37.8% from three-point. That's pretty darn good.
And David Double D Dykstra.
Texas will be lucky to be 500. Oklahoma will be lucky to get out there with no more than three losses. Like, they're going into conferences where they're going to get shellacked.
Hit us up on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1.
And now, here's Brandon, Tyler, and David.
That's right. Welcome, everyone, to Blow the Whistle. Here on SportsTownChicago.com, I'm Brandon Januska here with
Tyler Butterbaugh.
And David Dykstra decided to ditch us and go on vacation for a couple weeks here, so we're going to have to pick up the slack while he's chilling on a beach. We'll be busting our humps here in the studio.
We can do this.
Yeah, we can definitely do it. Who needs him?
It's a good thing we don't pay him.
That's right. Well, NFL football. Kickoff weekend has happened. Week one has already occurred outside of the Monday night game here tonight. So we're talking all about football here in this first hour. NFL, Bears, of course. And then, of course, you're killing me, Smalls, before we move into some college football before moving into the next hour. So we're going to get right into it. Are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
So the Chicago Bears, duh, Bears. Traveled to Los Angeles, play at SoFi Stadium. First time the Rams have had fans in the stands there at SoFi Stadium, which was just a great look, great sound. Like the amount of noise coming from those fans there.
That was
rowdy. It was messing with the broadcast.
Yeah, it was a little rowdy over there. And That is a nice looking stadium.
It is.
It's beautiful.
It gives the McCaskies something to think about if they potentially move to Arlington.
Hint, hint, twink, wink.
Exactly, exactly. I want something at least as nice, if not better.
Exactly.
Of course, they set the standard. Now you got to surpass that. But the Bears lose to the Rams. 34-14 was the final. Not a great game overall for the Bears, especially the defense. There was just not a lot going there. The secondary was getting torched by an old foe, old division rival in Matthew Stafford, now the starting quarterback for the Rams. And I'm just going to go straight to you. What were your thoughts on Stafford just tearing apart that secondary?
Man, it was just kind of, I didn't expect anything less. I think it's more because the Bears have been given Stafford so much trouble throughout the time that he was with Detroit. But I think now that he's got more weapons in the Ram and LA and all that, and has more help even with the line, I'm just not too surprised that he was able to just kind of pick apart the defense. But just, I'm more surprised of how bad the secondary looked. It was a joke, honestly. It was just like Eddie Jackson. I don't know where his head was. I don't know where he was. He kind of never showed up. And if you saw, like, obviously we all saw Cooper Kupp like 10, 15 yards ahead of three of the secondary guys, and no one picked him up. And so it just, I don't know. It just looked horrible all the way around. I mean, Stafford, you deserve kicking the Bears' butts because he's been getting a beat down from Detroit.
Yeah, and I want to know, of course, everyone going into this game with Justin Fields, his involvement and everything. Dalton overall, though, did not play a terrible game. What were everyone's thoughts about how Andy Dalton performed in that opening matchup? Was it disappointing? Was it about what you expected? Did he surprise anyone? Let us know at BlowTWhistle1. That's at BlowTWhistle1 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Hit us up. Let us know, what are your takeaways? What are your thoughts on Andy Dalton's debut as a Chicago Bear? But, I mean, because the defense, obviously, a bad look in Sean Desai's debut as the defensive coordinator. But Dalton, overall, he did better than, or not better than expected. He did about what I expected. He didn't lose the game for him, necessarily. That bad pick on the opening drive was obviously not a good play. But overall, he didn't lose that game.
No, I don't. I agree with you, Brandon. I definitely don't think that he lost the game for the Bears. He looked pretty decent. There was a lot of passes that he made that were really good, and then there were some opportunities that he missed. As I think everyone saw on one of the 4th-and-4s that the Bears went for, he had Cole Kmet wide open on like a two-yard in route, and that would have gotten the Bears the first down. So, but the thing that I can't really blame him for is because Dalton's not mobile, and we all saw that he was getting attacked without very any help from the offensive line. And he just kind of was, I think that's what Nagy was going for, because it was like 2-second passes that he was just wanting to get rid of the balls to avoid getting sacked. But it's kind of hard when you have Aaron Donald on the other end of you. But I mean, it wasn't like anything spectacular that I saw. Like, it was just a lot of short yardage passes. But I mean, he didn't do anything terrible to make him lose the game.
Yeah, Dalton now 0-7 on Sunday Night Football in his career. So he would rather not play that primetime game anymore. But yeah, you mentioned it, all the short passes. He had one pass go for over 10 yards. That was an 11-yard pass to Jimmy Graham. That was the only time he threw the ball over 10 yards in the entire game. And he was averaging only about 2 seconds on his dropback, so he had to get it out quick. I mean, you mentioned the offensive line. I was not disappointed. I was disappointed with how the tackles played, and obviously the Bears lost Jason Peters early in the third quarter, and then Larry Borum went down as well. So they ended up with their 4th string, because remember, Tevin Jenkins is out for a little while now too after surgery. So they were on their 4th string left tackle. But the interior, Sam Mustipher, alongside James Daniels and Cody Whitehair. I thought they actually had a pretty good game in limiting what Aaron Donald could do. He had a sack late in the game. He had a couple tackles, ended with three tackles, one for loss and the sack. But overall, from how bad and how everyone was talking about this offensive line coming in against one of the best defensive lines in football, I thought they held their own on the interior.
Oh, I definitely think so too. At least in the first half of that game, that offensive line actually looked not bad. Definitely not as bad as, like you said, that we were expecting them to be. And because if you look at a lot of the good things that the offensive line did, they opened up a lot for David Montgomery, because David Montgomery looked phenomenal, really good in this game, even though I wish that they kind of gave him the ball a little bit more, because Nagy was kind of just wanting to go with the pass game. But I mean, yeah, exactly. Like those guards positions, they looked solid. Like not bad at all. Very surprising to me.
Yeah, and I mean, not only did they do a good job of limiting Donald, but they opened up the running game. David Montgomery rushed 16 times for 108 yards. So that was one of the highlights. It wasn't all just bad, all doom and gloom for the Bears. They had the running game going. I would have liked to see more rushing effort,
right?
More rushes in the game overall. But David Montgomery had himself a game, and the involvement of Justin Fields, I loved it. I loved that they got him out there. They gave him plays. Now I want to see more.
Right. Oh, I agree. I liked that we Bears fans got a chance to see glimpses of Justin Fields. My only issue with how they did it was, I don't know why they didn't let the kid loose and let him throw the ball a little bit, because as we saw, it was mainly he just handed off and then he ran in for a touchdown, which we know the legs that Fields has. And I mean, I wasn't too surprised by that touchdown, but I wanted to see a little more passing. We saw that one, he had his first completion off his first attempt, like in his first snap going in.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see a little bit more of Justin Fields. I honestly was convinced that with the score being how it was late in the fourth, I was kind of expecting the last 4 minutes, Nagy was going to play Justin Fields, just kind of see, because deep down, I definitely think that Nagy was not thinking that, okay, Dalton's not going to bring us back to this game. But I was hoping that he'd think, you know what, let's throw the kid in and see what he can make out of this, like towards the end of the game, because that is pressure right there. If you want to see if Fields can perform under pressure, is letting him play in this kind of situation where it's like they play it as like, all right, we need to come back and win. Would Justin Fields bring the Bears back from that deficit? Probably not. But I mean, it kind of gives you a better idea of what Fields can put to the table on a primetime game.
Yeah, it's all about reps. Just let him get out there and do what he does. Obviously, I would have preferred had he just started and been the guy. I think we could all agree on that.
Absolutely.
But the fact that they had Dalton be the starter, I'm glad he took the field. I love that they actually put him in, let him take the field. Now, like I said, now we just need to see more.
Yep.
We need to see more Justin Fields. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round, as all five quarterbacks drafted in the first round took the field at some point yesterday. Which one was the first to score a touchdown? Find out next on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports. SportsTownChicago.com.
Joe's Hot Dogs has been around since 1953, but I promise it's not old news. You don't have to like hot dogs to like Joe's on Plainfield Road in Joliet. Italian beef, hot dogs, shakes, and sides. My family's had a relationship with Joe's Hot Dogs for three generations. Golden fries with a tad bit of salt and the perfect amount of crunch come in a bag as big as your hand. And that's just small. For more on the menu, visit joeshotdogsjoliet.com. Bringing that classic Chicago flavor to the suburbs. That's Joe's Hot Dogs across from CVS on Plainfield Road in Joliet.
At the football game, Jim shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He starts flexing for the camera. He refers to his muscles as gunboats. He screams, "How's this for a halftime show?" Jim streaks the field.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and Windy City News Radio.
The Illinois Center for Broadcasting is now the Illinois Media School. We've been an institution in the Chicagoland area now for 30 years. Because the broadcasting world is always changing, so are we. Not only are we teaching radio and television production, but now you can learn all aspects of the media industry, like web design. You can even specialize in TV or film, sports broadcasting, and even sales. No matter where you are in the Chicagoland area, we have a campus near you. The Illinois Media School. Be on TV, be on radio, beonair.com.
Maybe that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
Yo, check us out. We are the go-to guys. I'm your boy Space.
I'm your boy MC.
Check us out every Thursday
from 4 to 5 p.m.
We spitting all facts, all sports, all day.
Yes, sir. Who else are you going to go to in the clutch?
Lillard, long range three. And it's good!
Keeping you up to date with all the latest sports news.
We are
the go-to guys.
Where else are you going to get all your sports news from?
You know.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Lance, off the play fake, first pass, and it's a touchdown. Trent Sherfield on the receiving end of Trey Lance's first career NFL touchdown pass.
That's right, Trey Lance was the first rookie quarterback this year to throw for a touchdown. Credit to Fox NFL with the call there. And Trey Lance, the guy who didn't even start. There were five rookie quarterbacks taken in the first round. Three of them got the start. Trey Lance, one that did not, but he is the first one to pass for a touchdown out of the five. Did you see that coming? I don't know that I did.
I really was not expect that coming at all. I almost was thinking because they were up by so much already. But yeah, I wasn't expecting to see Trey Lance at all coming into that game.
Yeah, I mean, if they did, not to have him be the guy that kind of stole a rep there from Garoppolo, which kind of brings me into this. What they did there is very similar to what the Bears did with Justin Fields in terms of Garoppolo drove down the field, then they went to Trey Lance, and he put it in for the touchdown. The Bears did a similar thing. Andy Dalton drove down the field on that opening drive, and then they go to Justin Fields. He didn't score the touchdown there, but then later on a later drive, he did have that rushing touchdown. So my question to everyone out there, is that something that can work? Is that something that can be sustained, having that two quarterback set, that dual quarterbacks? They're not on the field at the same time, but having one guy drive down the field and then go to the rookie, is that going to mess with the mindset of guys like Garoppolo and Dalton and throw them off, kill momentum? Or is that something that can be sustained? Let us know at BlowTWhistle1 what your thoughts are, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Can that be sustained, Tyler?
I mean, to me, I mean, that the whole thing like that, like swapping quarterbacks, I could see that the Niners and the Bears are wanting to kind of throw off the defenses. But, like, I think it's just going to, like you said, it's going to just kind of get into the starting quarterback's head as Garoppolo and Dalton are the starting quarterbacks. And to me, it's kind of weird doing that. I don't know if they decided to do that just to kind of, like, give the rookies a little taste of what the NFL, like, week one NFL is like. But I don't know. It was just, I have like weird feelings about it. It was just kind of odd to me.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that'll work sustained or to be sustained because, yeah, it's going to mess with momentum. It's going to mess with the guys. Like, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I drove all the way down the field, but he gets all the praise and glory because he's the one who scored the touchdown.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I don't like it if I'm a quarterback. So it could be something to watch moving forward if both those teams continue to do it in this way. Just have them come out for set plays in the red zone. So something to look at. But there were other games, a lot of tight games around the league yesterday, including what I would consider the game of the week, the Cleveland Browns in Kansas City taking on the Chiefs. And what a game that was. The Chiefs ended up winning it, pulling it out 33-29, but the Browns, they had that game in my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I was watching that game and the Browns looked really good. Like, they looked a lot better than last year, and we're seeing a lot more of Kareem Hunt, and now that duo of Chubb and Hunt, like, it's a deadly backfield. But yeah, no, the Browns definitely should have had that game in the bag. I don't think Kansas City was ready for the Browns to come out like slinging like that. But I mean, obviously you can't count on Patrick Mahomes. He's like we've said, he's like Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, you can never count him out, just like in Thursday night's game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mahomes, you know he's good for a comeback. And the Browns knew that too, which is why, I mean, they had a 22-10 lead at the half. But they showed their aggressiveness from the start. They committed to the run, especially with Nick Chubb. They got Hunt in there as well. But the fact that they went for two, they scored a touchdown on their first drive and went for the two-point conversion, knowing that points, they needed as many points as possible. They needed to just outslug Kansas City, knowing that they're good for typically 30 a game at least.
Right. Yeah, I know. I was a little surprised that they went for two on that first drive. But like you said, we know that Kansas City can put up 30, 40 points in a game because it's just their offense is unbeatable.
Yeah, and then another shocker around the league that I know I was excited about. I'm sure you can say the same as well. I think most people around Chicago just absolutely loved was Green Bay taking on New Orleans in Jacksonville. So due to the Hurricane Ida, Saints can't play at home, can't play there. So they are playing in Jacksonville, taking on the Packers. I thought it was just going to be a shootout, just going score for score all the way down. That is not what happened.
No, sir.
That is not at all what happened, as Aaron Rodgers had what was probably his worst game of his career. Definitely up there as one of his worst games ever.
This was his biggest point differential loss, or most points allowed in a loss in his career. It was 32 points, and now this is 38 points that they lost by, or like it was 38 that they scored. Up. I'm sorry. It was 35 of the point differential. That's the biggest loss differential that Aaron Rodgers has ever had in his career. And I'm sorry, but against Jameis Winston, that was a little bit of a shocker to me.
Yeah. I mean, I trust Jameis Winston. I trust him to move the ball downfield. He's due for a good amount of picks on the season. He didn't throw one against the Packers, though. So
no, that's where I was surprised about, where he went for 5 touchdowns and he had no interceptions. I was very shocked about that. But like you said, I mean, it was against the Green Bay Packers. Absolute great feeling for us Bears fans.
Yeah, definitely. To see Green Bay struggle so mightily. They didn't even score a touchdown. Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. Well, Fields rushed for one. He did not throw for one. Andy Dalton has more passing touchdowns and less interceptions than Aaron Rodgers, who threw two.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton threw one. He lost a fumble as well, so turnovers are the same between those two guys. But Andy Dalton statistically has better numbers than Aaron Rodgers right now.
It's funny you say that because I was just kind of going back and forth with one of my buddies that is a Packers fan, and I wasn't really saying anything much until Justin Fields scored his first touchdown, and I just go, hey. And he's like, what's up? I'm like, Fields has more touchdowns than the entire Packers offense. And that was just a great thing to brag about.
Yeah, and so Jordan Love actually played the last 10 minutes of that game and did all right. He nothing too fancy, nothing too flashy, but he did his job. He did it fairly well, 5 for 7, 68 yards. But yeah, the way that they just could not move the ball whatsoever, shocking.
I was even surprised of the run game. Like, their leading rusher was only had 19 yards.
Yeah, and it wasn't Aaron Jones.
No, it was A.J. Dillon. That's what I was annoyed about, because I was like, I'm glad the Packers are getting whooped, but I have Aaron Jones on my fantasy team.
Of course.
And I'm like, I need some yards here.
Yeah, of course. So the good news for the Bears, obviously, is not only did the Packers get shellacked, like we like to say on this show. Thank you, David Dykstra. Even though you're not here, we'll use your phrase. They got shellacked. Everyone else in the division lost. So technically the Bears, if you go by differential, they're not in first, but there's a four-way tie for first place in the division.
If you go by alphabetical order, they're in first.
Exactly. If you go alphabetical order, the Bears are in first place in the division in the NFC North, as they all are off to an 0-1 start. So great job, NFC North.
Good job.
Great job. The West, on in comparison, is 4-0 to start off the season. So two different sides right there,
yeah,
between these two teams, or these two divisions right now. It'll be interesting to see how it goes moving forward. But one other game I want to touch as well is the Steelers and the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Steelers defense shutting down that prolific Bills offense and being able to pull out a victory there.
That was a big surprise, because as we saw, the Steelers had the best record in the league last year, and they kind of got exposed when they lost badly to the Browns in the first round of the playoffs. So that's when I was thinking, okay, the Steelers team isn't legit. But man, oh man, did that defense look mean and scary against the Bills. And we've known the Bills have a very solid, besides from the Chiefs, they have a great offense as well. And to just see them struggle against the Steelers defense, and not only their special teams, as the Steelers special teams got a block punt for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It was a surprising game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Bills led 10-0 at the half. Pittsburgh mm-hmm. scored 20 unanswered points there in the second half, and that did it. 23-16 was the final. So to see just kind of that flip, the halftime adjustments there, not as big a stakes, obviously, but it's almost like that Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl. Just,
yeah,
obviously, 10-point game, not the same totally, but in terms of just halftime adjustments, the Bills had everything going, and then the Steelers just come out the gates in the second half and throw it all together. 17 points in the fourth quarter, too. So the flipping of the switch there, it'll be interesting to see how the Bills respond next week.
Definitely. And I just got to real quick say that I was impressed with Najee Harris's performance. Rookie running back, not too bad. 16 carries, 45 yards. But some of his runs that he had, he looked like that. It was more towards it in the second half that the Bills just could not get him down. He looked really good in that first game.
Yeah, well, it's about that time now where we give that moment from the week that left us saying, "You're killing me, Smalls." And with football back in full swing, I'm sure everyone has a lot of things, whether it's fantasy related or just your team lost. Everyone, I'm sure, has plenty of killing me Smalls moments. And we want to know what those moments were for all of you. So hit us up, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at BlowTWhistle1, and let us know what had you say, "You're killing me, Smalls." And you'll hear our moments coming up here on Blow the Whistle. But first, let's go to Tyler for a sports update.
Back to your home for sports. SportsTownChicago.com. Scoreboard update.
Tyler Biederbaugh here with your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com. The Bears fell to a friendly foe in Matt Stafford with the Rams in Week 1's matchup 34-14. Andy Dalton took the lead in the quarterback position, throwing 27 for 38, 200 yards, and a touchdown. But we did see a couple glimpses of Justin Fields as he ran one into the end zone. Bears host their home opener next Sunday against the Bengals, kickoff at noon. Despite the sweep the Cubs faced against the Giants, Chicago greeted a fellow hometown hero with Chris Bryant in his debut against the Cubs with this new team. Here is the man himself on how he felt coming back to Wrigley.
It was just more than I expected. I kind of knew it would be like this, but yeah, I kind of got the best of me. It was kind of hard to play a baseball game after that, for sure. But I really appreciated it. When I first started my career here, I don't know if I could have ever dreamed of like having that type of reception. The fans welcoming me back like that. Definitely something that is one of the highlights of my career so far.
Cubs will start their series with the Phillies tomorrow. First pitch at 6:05. The White Sox won the Battle of the Sox, taking the series 2-1 against the Red Sox with last night's 2-1 victory. Craig Kimbrel with the help as he takes the win with one inning played, one earned run, and two strikeouts. Sox will play the Angels tomorrow, first pitch at 7:10. Week 2 of college football happened over the weekend, full of upsets and blowouts. First upset of the weekend, Ohio State fell to Oregon 35-28. Iowa upsets Iowa State 27-17. Nebraska takes an easy win from Buffalo 28-3, and Illinois gets shellacked by Virginia 42-14. And this has been your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com.
This is your home for sports.
Red left!
SportsTownChicago.com.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention we'd be slowing down when we pass the court where those fine brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
Alert! Alert! Be gone, maxed out credit cards, overdue loans, suffocating interest rates, and relentless collection agencies. If your credit rating is making you and others around you cringe, there's only one thing to do, and that's to turn to the professionals at Creative Credit Solutions. Even if your credit is less than perfect, we'll help you get back on track. You can do it, and we can help. Call today or visit creativecreditsolutions.net for your free credit check report.
Blow the whistle on SportsTownChicago.com. Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. as we talk NFL.
The game plan was really sound.
It's a quarterback league. It happened. It still is.
Franchise-defining quarterbacks.
College football.
Will Jim Harbaugh make it through the season as Michigan's head coach?
Some more Big Ten talk.
And here's some things you wouldn't expect.
I would have never expected that.
Get all of that and more on Blow the Whistle on SportsTownChicago.com.
You're killing me, Smalls!
That's right. We are back here on Blow the Whistle. I'm Brandon here with Tyler, and it is time for You're Killing Me, Smalls, where we give those moments from the week that just left us say, You're Killing Me, Smalls. And of course, we want to know what those moments were for you as well. So hit us up Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's at BlowTWhistle1. And let us know what left you saying, You're Killing Me, Smalls. And Tyler, what was it?
Oh, man, oh, man. I mean, before coming onto this show, I was just like, you know, I don't know exactly what my Killing Me Smalls is, but it's going to be something towards the Bears.
Yeah, of course.
And you know what? I was just thinking that we didn't really attack Nagy in our Bears segment, so this is my chance to attack Nagy.
There we go.
Oh, Matt Nagy. So, sorry, I had to clear my throat there because this is going to get ugly.
Got to get ready for this.
But Matt Nagy, okay, so I'm just, this is going to be all over the place. I'm going to warn you that right now. But we all know that Justin Fields is the better quarterback. He should be starting. He should have started last night's game over Andy Dalton. Because my whole thing is, First off, Nagy already said, and because Nagy said they're going to wait until Justin Fields is ready. You even said it yourself, Nagy, that Justin Fields is ready to play. When he gets called upon, he'll be ready. So if he's already ready, and you said once he's ready, we'll throw him out there. What are you waiting for? Throw him out there. Give the fans what they want and give the team what's going to make them better. Because I'm sorry, but Andy Dalton's not going to make this Bears offense go anywhere. Despite them not looking, him not looking terrible. But this is the problem. Is Nagy was setting up plays where it gave Andy Dalton like 2 seconds to throw. Which short pass yardage, okay. But the thing is, the Bears offense had possession of the ball. They were on the field 10 minutes more than the Rams offense. And how is it that they only put up 14 points? So this is the problem. Is with you, Nagy, you know the situation with the O-line right now. The quarterback, Danny Dalton's not going to have enough time to throw, and he's not mobile. At least if you have Fields in, he'll be able to extend the play, give the offense a chance to go more than 15 yards a play. I mean, come on, Nagy. I mean, you guys finally made the right decision, got the right quarterback in the draft, because we all know that the Trubisky pickup was a mistake. And granted, I still think that Nagy did not quite do what he could have done better to help out Trubisky. But for the love of God, Nagy, if you ruin this for Justin Fields and break Justin Fields, you're going to have the whole fan base. The whole Bears fan base is going to have your number. So I guess basically Matt Nagy for just not getting the quarterback situation correctly, but it's clearly right in your vision of who's the better quarterback, who's going to make this team successful, and who's going to potentially save your job. So Matt Nagy with just still unsure of what to do with Fields when it's blatantly right in your face. I'm giving you a big old...
Yeah, there's so much that you could critique about Matt Nagy, and you hit it right on the nose. The quarterback situation is obviously the big topic in Chicago.
Yes.
The big topic for the Bears, and they're butchering it.
Absolutely. They're like hiding it. And yeah. It's like, what is there to hide? I mean, we see everything. We know it's clear that who's the better quarterback. And even just that little bit that Fields was in, just with his mobility, he was able to scramble. He is so fast. He's going to be able to run away from the defenders. And I don't know why. Because he knows the situation with the offensive line. It's like, put in the guy that best suits of your current situation right now with that offensive line.
Yeah, definitely. And well, I'm actually, there's a lot that happened in football that I could easily go after. I'm actually going to switch it over to baseball. I have this one from Friday, and I think it takes the cake over anything else that happened football. Like, there's so much I could go after, but I have to go after this guy, and it's Mike Montgomery. If that name sounds familiar, if you're a Cubs fan, it should. He's the pitcher who recorded the last out of the World Series, the 2016 World Series.
Right.
Mike Montgomery recorded that last out. Boy, has he fallen off since then. He's now pitching in the KBO, the Korean baseball organization. So he's out there right now. And what he did, he pitches for the Samsung Lions. On Friday, he was ejected after being warned by the umpires about the league's 12-second pitch rule. So you have 12 seconds after you throw a pitch to then throw your next pitch.
Right.
He was ejected after being warned about it. And as he was being led toward the dugout, he then charged at the umpire who ejected him and had to be restrained by teammates to keep him away from him. So since he couldn't actually get to the umpire, he then fired the rosin bag at the umpire's back. He hit him in the back with the rosin bag as the umpire was talking to his team's manager, to the Lions manager.
Oh my God.
And after he was eventually then ushered into the dugout and led off the field, he removed his jersey in the dugout and threw that back on the field before then heading down to the clubhouse. So just blowing up over what is a rule in this league, a 12-second pitch rule. obviously pitchers are used to a routine, and his apparently is more than 12 seconds between pitches. It's something you have to adjust to, though. It's something that the league rules state, and you were warned about it, and then you were ejected for it. Keep your composure. Obviously, you get ejected, you'll yell, you'll get into a shouting match, stuff like that. That's normal.
Yeah.
But don't throw things at, like, don't fire a projectile at the umpire with his back turned to you.
That's just unclassy.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mike Montgomery, that's just uncalled for. It's unacceptable. You can't be doing that in any league.
No.
So, I mean, keep your cool. Keep your composure. You can yell all those things. You got ejected. Get your money's worth. But don't go throwing the rosin bag at people. Come on, Mike.
No,
so
come on.
So for that, Mike Montgomery, I say to you.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That's just, come on, man.
Yeah.
You're just putting a, that's just, come on, dude. You got to have more self-control than that. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's fallen out. He's no longer in a major league team. He pitched with the Mariners before then, coming to the Cubs, was part of that dream team in 2016 with the Cubs. That historic season was with the Royals, got cut from the Yankees minor leagues earlier this year. Obviously now in Korea and doing stuff like that. That's how you get ejected for good. That's how you get banned from a league.
Oh, exactly.
Something like that toward an umpire.
You telling that story, that reminded me that I was almost going to use this. This is what I remembered. I was almost going to use this for You're Killing Me Smalls, but I didn't know how relevant it was because I saw it off of a TikTok video. And it was, I think it was like a high school girls softball game. And the ump's pitching box was, they weren't agreeing with it.
Okay.
So they had a mound visit with the pitcher, the coach, and I believe they purposely told the pitcher and the catcher for the pitcher to just throw a fastball and the catcher to move out of the way, and the ball went just straight directly into the ump's mask, and the ump just got ticked off and he just canceled the game.
Really?
Either he called the game, or he like made he made that team lose. It was, yeah.
Wow.
It was insane because it was blatantly obvious that the catcher, it was just kind of like right when the pitcher was winding up, the catcher just kind of just slid to the right and the ball went straight to the ump. And he was just had like that, like, are you kidding me? And he like marched over to the dugout and it was just ugly.
Yeah, so no ejections for that one. Just straight up, hey, you forfeit the game. If that's how you want to play it, you forfeit.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I
like that.
I respect that.
Hey, you can't be having that. Like,
no.
Come on. Like, you got to keep control as the umpire. And he sure did that. He said, all right, if that's how you want to do it, you don't get to play.
Exactly.
The end.
You're done.
All right. Well, we're also done here with You're Killing Me, Smalls, as our music has run out. So that gives me the signal that we are out of time here for this segment. But we had some good ones. Those were good.
Yeah, they were.
This one. I mean, forfeiting games, throwing rosin bags, Matt Nagy, of course.
Oh, we forgot to ask. Hey, David.
David,
oh, wait, he's not here.
Oh, that's right. David, you're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
For not being in the studio.
Going on
with
vacation.
Us. That's right.
Not
that's
inviting
right.
us.
And of course, I mean, to go off of yours as well, our recurring one from KB Mac, that Matt Nagy has not put in Justin Fields. So it goes right along with yours. That's, I don't know what day we're on, but that's been his recurring Killing Me Smalls for a few weeks now. So we got to give that one as well. Well, if you didn't hit us up yet, be sure to hit us up. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. Let us know what your Killing Me Smalls moments were, because we love to hear them. It's always a lot of fun with that segment. Well, the Big Ten has three teams ranked in the top 10 after Iowa did something for the first time since 1960. Find out what that was coming up here on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
Longtime fans, sports is like life.
SportstownChicago.com.
What's up, Chicago?
If you're ever, and I mean ever, out looking for good urban food 24-7, come down to White Palace Grill located 1159 South Canal Street in Chicago. White Palace Grill is open 365 days a year since 1939. I personally love the steak and egg dinner, but whether you like burgers for breakfast, steak for lunch, or French toast for dinner, White Palace is the place for you. The diner is a 24-hour urban oasis. Come now, come later. Heck, come now and later. We never close at White Palace Grill located 1159 South Canal Street in Chicago. Visit us at whitepalace.com or order with Uber Eats or Grubhub anytime, any day.
Daddy, when you look at me, I could see your wheels turning. About what am I going to be when I grow up? A major league first baseman? Maybe a point guard for a national champion.
The odds of a child becoming a professional athlete are 1 in 16,000. Far-fetched? Maybe. But did you know the odds of a child being diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166? That's right, 1 in 166. To learn the signs of autism, go to autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Go to Lux Barbershop for the best barbers and stylists in Plainfield, Illinois. I go there when I have an important event, date, or I just want to look good. The straight razor shave will have you looking fresh and smooth. Lux Barbershop is open 7 days a week. Go to Lux Barbershop for the finest barbers, stylists, braiders, and massage therapists in the southern suburbs. Check out all their daily deals on Facebook, Instagram, and LuxBarbershop.com.
Hi, this is Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Old Sport Radio with Pat Riley.
The Bears, in my opinion, are not a storied franchise anymore. They are a laughingstock because of the way that they handle their business and the way that the team up north has dominated them for my entire life.
Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. on SportstownChicago.com.
Yes, indubitably on sport.
It's been that kind of day. Last-ditch effort goes awry, as so many issues have for the Cyclones today. Andrew Mevis never had a chance. And now I will be able to run out the clock.
That's right. Iowa State college football full swing, obviously, in week two, as Iowa able to knock off Iowa State in that one. Credit ESPN with the call there. And Iowa did something, like I said before, for the first time since 1960. And that was that they beat two top 10 teams or two ranked teams in back-to-back weeks, something they had not done since 1960. And that throws them into the top five now in the college football rankings, the AP poll.
That is insane. I mean, I knew. That's why I'm like, I'm not a fan. I don't like Iowa because Iowa is Nebraska's rival. But they're just looking really, really good this year. And I didn't know about that until you just said that, Brandon. That so it was
1960.
Wow.
Was the last time they beat two ranked teams in succession.
That's oof. And they deserve to be at that spot number five right now. Absolutely. After I'm seeing how the rest of the teams that are listed under them, they totally deserve to be in the top five.
Yeah, well, their win, not as much an upset. I mean, two evenly ranked teams coming in Iowa, Iowa State. But Iowa takes that one with relative ease for the most part there. But another upset, another team that jumped into the top five, Oregon.
Yeah.
As they played the Ohio State. Well, the Ohio State could not come out with a victory there. They made it close at the end coming back, but the Ducks able to hold them off, and the Ducks jump all the way up to that four spot. Ohio State moves all the way down to nine in the rankings.
I was able to catch glimpses of this game because I was at work, but Oregon, Oregon's offense was looking so good against the Buckeyes defense, which I honestly don't think the Buckeyes defense is as good as they were last year, but still good defense. And the run game that they had, Oregon's running game is phenomenal. Their leading rusher, CJ Verdell, 20 carries, 161 yards with two touchdowns. That is, just seeing how he was finding the right gaps, and he is fast as all hell, and he looked really good. I'm excited for this Oregon team.
Yeah, averaged over 8 yards a carry, 8.1, and then Anthony Brown behind him, 10 rushes for 65 yards. So the quarterback getting it done on the ground as well as in the air.
And one thing I wanted to say was, I have to just point this out because I remembered David was saying just like, he doesn't feel Ohio State. Ohio State's definitely not the same team as they were last year. But because he said that he was a little iffy on the quarterback situation. Well, I got to say, the quarterback situation, his performance, unbelievable. 35-54, they had him throw a lot, but 484 yards, yeah, along with three touchdowns.
Yeah, CJ Stroud, he kept his team in it. He kept them back. He got them back into it and kept it close throughout. 35-28 was the final. So it was just a one-score game, one-score final. But, I mean, he did everything he could. That defense just could not stop the Ducks.
And more things I'm looking at here, which is impressive, is CJ Stroud, he spreads the ball because he had three receivers with over 100 receiving yards.
Yeah.
You never see that. That's insane. Because obviously, I mean, Chris Olave, he's usually been their top guy, especially when Justin Fields was there last year.
Yeah. And led the way with 12 receptions here.
Yep. And 126 yards. So Ohio State, I got to say, they did get dropped down a lot more than I thought they should have. But I mean, I think it was more Oregon wasn't as high of a rank as they should have been because they were at 12 before. Definitely looked like a top five team. I agree with where they're at right now. I think Ohio State dropped a little bit further than I believe they should be.
Okay, so I mean they're at 9 right now. Cincinnati's ahead of them at 8. Would you put them ahead of Cincinnati then? Or how would you re-rank this? If you were moving Ohio State,
I would put. Oof, that's a tough one. I haven't seen much of Texas A&M, so I can't really say much about Texas A&M. But I could see them being around about 7 or 8. I think that, but I mean, they got dropped low.
Yeah, 6 spots.
Yeah, and so in the coaches' poll, they got dropped down 8, which I was very. I don't agree with that, but I mean, I think they got dropped down a little bit further than they should have. But, I mean, I just think Oregon was more of a surprise team that they didn't really expect to be playing that good. And they're lighting it up.
Yeah, I mean your new top five now, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Iowa, as Texas A&M and Ohio State both dropped out. Texas A&M now at 7, Clemson ahead of them at 6.
You mentioned just real quick about Oklahoma. Can we just, yes. Oh my God.
Yes.
Oklahoma dropping 76 points against Western Carolina. Western Carolina, big old goose egg. Didn't score nothing. Granted, it's West Carolina. I mean, Oklahoma should have, but 76 points. You never hear that.
Yeah.
That is a Madden score.
It is. I mean, for any team to lose by that much, and not only that, like you said, to not even score. He couldn't even get a field goal at any point. I wonder if they even had the ball on the other side. I'm going to try to look that up here, but just to get totally dominated like that, it makes you question. It's like, why are you even playing the game?
Exactly.
Why do we even go? If you see Oklahoma on the schedule next time, it's if I'm them, I'm saying, all right, we're not going to go. Like,
yeah, we're not.
Why?
We're just
going to help you pad your stats. Like,
right.
We're just going to wait until an opponent that's a little more evenly matched with us.
I do got to say that Western Carolina, I mean, I don't know much about them, but we were talking about how week one, how Oklahoma's defense has not looked good and have not, like, the fact that they let up, I believe, what, 40 points against, they let up 40 points against Tulane, which that is atrocious. And so this team that they went against had been doggone awful to let them score 76 points. But, I mean, Oklahoma plays Nebraska next week. It's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's your team, the team you support. Do they have a chance? Is Oklahoma going to be too much for them? Hopefully it's not 76-0 Oklahoma, but where do they fall in that range?
Well, Nebraska is on a two-game winning streak right now. Not impressive wins, but, I mean, they beat Buffalo as much as I figured they should have beat Buffalo. But, I mean, as how I've seen Oklahoma's defense, I'd love to say there's a chance for Nebraska, but it's like that offense and the quarterback situation in Nebraska is just very iffy. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a much closer game than people think.
Okay.
I'll go with that. That's all I'm going to say.
And, I mean, if you look at the spread for last week's Sooners game against Western Carolina, it actually was a 52-point spread. So oh, wow. they were projected to absolutely destroy them.
Yeah, that's a total beatdown.
And so they knew coming in, maybe not 76-0 bad, no. but they knew coming in this was going to be a rough one, which, again, it's like, all right, I understand getting reps against a good team can help you improve, but not when you're just getting absolutely destroyed.
I know. I mean, I couldn't believe that. And I wonder if, I would hope some of the backups of Oklahoma played and got some reps in, because, I mean, that's just kicking their, like, heads to the curb and just kind of stomping on them, scoring that absurd amount of points.
Yeah. And then on the local front, Illinois losing 42-14 to Virginia. And Northwestern actually did win their game, though, 24-6 over Indiana State. So a win for Northwestern, a loss for Illinois. Illinois, it looks like a rough season coming up. I know they upset the Cornhuskers, to your dismay, but they able to get one victory at least, a conference victory too, Big Ten victory, but it could be a rough season, especially if they're starting quarterbacks out for an extended period.
Yeah, I think Illinois looked very good against Nebraska, but I mean, I couldn't really tell because I don't know I still don't even know where Nebraska sits at in this the rest of the season. But I mean, yeah, with the loss of their quarterback, that's going to be very tough for them. And then along with Northwestern is like a hit or miss every year. Like last year, they were obviously known for their amazing defense, and that's what brought them to the Big Ten championship last year. But I mean, this year, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be kind of tough. Northwestern's hit or miss for me.
Okay. And Northwestern takes on Duke this coming weekend. The Northwestern is a 3-point favorite in that one. As for Illinois, they take on Maryland, a 7.5-point favorite there. And in terms of Nebraska, Oklahoma's 22-point favorite. So not as bad as last week, 50-plus, but still long odds for Nebraska if they want to pull off a major upset against number two, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean,
Number three, rather.
Georgia's yeah, number three.
Two. Number I'll three, be able Oklahoma.
To, I'll be able to catch a little bit of the game, but I mean, with that point spread, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's atrocious. I don't know. I would love for an upset because then I can come to school next week and just absolutely just brag. Even though I don't think there's anyone here that's an Oklahoma fan.
Not that I know of offhand.
But just so I can just brag it to it, and even though Grant is not an Oklahoma fan, I mean, he hates Oklahoma. He's an Oklahoma State fan.
Right.
He'd probably be cheering with me. So I'm hoping for that.
Yeah. Well, it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens in week three of college football. But on the other side, Chris Bryant had a gift for Cubs employees when he made his return to Wrigley over the weekend. What did he do? Find out here next on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
This is the best fans in the world.
No better team.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Are you ready for this? Valley View Automotive has all of the hottest SUVs you've been looking for. Enjoy a test drive and the opportunity to drive one of these powerful vehicles off the lot for half the price. Yes, half the price. Now's the time to get yourself to Valley View by car, on foot, or even by air to take advantage of this outrageous sale. You better get here quickly, because this promotion is only going on for 24 hours, and the automobiles are leaving the lot faster than you can say four-wheel drive. Valley View Automotive, a dealership you can depend on.
Hey, I'm Andy Griggs, asking you to help prevent domestic violence. Domestic violence isn't a woman's issue. It hurts all of us. Women are injured and killed every day by their husbands and boyfriends. So it's time for men to take action right now to teach boys that violence against women is wrong, to help prevent abuse before it starts. Call the Family Violence Prevention Fund at 1-800-END-ABUSE to get a free take action kit containing tips on what to say to boys. That's 1-800-END-ABUSE. Teach early.
Indeed is the number one job search user with over 250 million monthly users. Indeed's priority is to help everyone in the job searching process to find a job by uploading 10 new job opportunities every 10 seconds worldwide. With Indeed, you have free access to job searches, resume uploads, and company researches. There are over 10,000 employees at Indeed that pursue to help people find the job they are looking for. They connect with millions of people to new opportunities. Go to Indeed.com and sign up for free and create a resume and let Indeed do the rest to help you on your job search.
Hey, I'm Jesus Mauricio. Be sure to tune in every Friday to listen to Zeus Off the Bat, a baseball talk show from 1 to 2 p.m. where I'll be discussing and updating you on all things about baseball. News, predictions, reactions, and more about the Cubs, Sox, and everything across the league. Happens every Friday at 1 p.m. right here on SportsTownChicago.com. Don't forget to follow and share our Twitter and Instagram with your friends at Zeus Off the Bat. Zeus Off the Bat.
I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
SportsTownChicago.com. Lombard, part of the Be On Air Network and available on the TuneIn app.
Hell yeah.
Broadcast home for your Windy City Bulls and the Chicago Dogs. We're in a league of our own. Now, here's your SportsTownChicago.com scoreboard update.
Here's Tyler Buterbaugh with your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com. Da Bears fell to a friendly foe in Matt Stafford with the Rams in Week 1's matchup 34-14. Andy Dalton took the lead in the quarterback position, throwing 27 for 38, 206 yards and a touchdown. But we did see a couple glimpses of Justin Fields as he ran one into the end zone. Bears host their home opener next Sunday against the Bengals. Kickoff is at noon. Despite the sweep the Cubs face against the Giants, Chicago greeted a fellow hometown hero with Chris Bryant in his debut against the Cubs with his new team. Here is the man himself, how he felt, letting us know how he felt coming back to Wrigley.
It was just more than I expected. I kind of knew it would be like this, but yeah, I kind of got the best of it. It was kind of hard to play a baseball game after that, for sure. But I really appreciated it. When I first started my career here, I don't know if I could have ever dreamed of like having that type of reception. The fans welcoming me back like that. Definitely something that is one of the highlights of my career so far.
The White Sox won the battle of the Sox, taking the series 2-1 against the Red Sox with last night's 2-1 victory. Craig Kimbrell, with the help as he took, takes the win with one inning played, one earned run, and two strikeouts. Sox will play the Angels tomorrow, first pitch 7:10. And in other news around the NFL, the entire NFC North starts off the season 0-1 as the Packers get picked apart by the Saints, losing 38-3. The Vikings come up short in overtime with the Bengals losing 27-24, and the Lions fell to the 49ers 41-33. Last game of Week 1 is tonight as the Ravens face the Raiders, kickoff at 7:15. And this has been your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back 2015 Rookie of the Year, a four-time All-Star, 2016 National League MVP, and World Series champion, number 17, Chris Bryant.
The Chicago Cubs select Chris Bryant.
Just to be a part of something special that could bring, you know, Chicago their first championship in a while would be something that I'm sure anybody would remember that for the rest of their lives. And, you know, I sure hope to be a part of that group that brings it to Chicago.
batting third and playing third base, number 17, Chris Bryant.
Is this the one? You bet it is. The first of Chris Bryant's career.
That's right. That was the tribute that the Cubs did for Chris Bryant there. And a great, great tribute for him. A great atmosphere, standing ovation. I was actually in attendance for that game on Friday. I was in the bleachers and left. So right behind Bryant as he played left field in that game. And just a great moment there to have him out there. You couldn't see it too well from the bleachers, but up on the video board to see the tribute. And then he was out there watching it as well. Obviously an emotional time for him as well.
I knew about you going to that game, and I was just wanting you to kind of talk about it. And I also want to know, how was the rest of the fans' reactions too? Like seeing Chris Bryant coming back and watching that video as well. Obviously, we saw that how emotional Chris Bryant was, but I also want to know, like, what was it like the fans there too?
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone was on their feet. Absolutely everyone. Standing ovation, everyone cheering. Lots of signs, lots of Bryant jerseys. I wore my blue road jersey. I figured it fit since he was technically the road player. Couldn't wear home Bryant jersey. He
right.
was not the home player. So I wore my blue number 17, Chris Bryant, as did probably half the people in the stands there was wearing a Bryant jersey. And yeah, just a great environment. Lots of cheers every time he came up, and not just at the beginning and his first at bat, another standing ovation, but every time he came up or did something, cheers for him all the way.
Good. I was really hoping for that. I didn't get a chance to watch the games, but I mean, with the kids started with the Cubs since he got drafted and went through a World Series with the Cubs. So I was really hoping, and I'm really glad that the Cubs really got, did a tribute to him. And obviously I was kind of joking around before, but it really shows of how much that Chris Bryant like means to the Cubs fan base. Is I pointed it out. The Cubs PA announcer, you could kind of hear in his voice, he choked up a little bit because I mean, I can only imagine the emotions going on when you're announcing Chris Bryant, like your whole, because he's a new PA guy, like yeah. his whole career. So, I mean, that just shows of how much that Bryant meant to the Cubs fan base, and it was truly remarkable.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said before the break, not only did Bryant get a tribute, but he gave something back to the Cubs employees as well. He and his wife Jessica, they made cookies for. I imagine hundreds of cookies had to be made and gave them to all the Cubs staff working on Friday. So little Cubs cookies. We'll post a picture on Facebook, on our social media at Blow Tea Whistle One. So be sure to follow us, like us, and you can see the cookies that he made. Follow us at Blow Tea Whistle One on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And yeah, just a great moment all the way around. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Definitely don't regret going to that game, even though the Cubs did end up losing Friday by a score of 6-1. Bryant, for his part, did not have a hit. He did draw a walk and scored a run in that Friday game. But looking more toward just the Cubs and how they're doing, it's a lost season. It's an evaluation process for this season. But, I mean, just having Bryant back in the environment leads to the question, in the offseason, do you bring back any of those guys? If there's one guy that you want to bring back, who would that be for you? Let us know. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. If you could bring back one of the big three, Rizzo, Bryant, or Baez, who are you going out to sign and bring back to the Cubs next year? Or would you just let them all walk? Who is it? Hit us up. BlowTWhistle1. Let us know. For me, I've said it all along. It's Bryant.
Yeah.
I think Bryant is the guy that gives you the most value on that team. Love Rizzo. Didn't think he'd go, but it's Bryant for me.
I'm 100% with you. I love Rizzo to death. But, I mean, I'm more thinking just because if they bring back Rizzo, sign a one-day contract just so he can retire as a Cub, I'd be happy as ever. just because with his back issues that he's been having, I don't know how much longer he's going to have in the league. But, yeah, out of those three guys, I would love to bring back Bryant.
Yeah. And
I'd love to.
And the start that Frank Schwindel's on kind of helps ease the pain of losing Rizzo as well, because if Schwindel can hold down that first base spot, I don't want to say you don't need Rizzo. Rizzo still does things that others can't. Multiple gold gloves, a platinum glove over there at first. His defense is definitely valuable to this team, as well as was his leadership. But if Schwindel can continue, and obviously we need to see how the league will adjust to Schwindel, and can he then adjust back, because pitchers are too good to let him continue to be on this tear forever. So it'll be interesting to see that adjustment process from Frank Schwindel if he ever does have a slump. His longest slump to date, just to throw it out there, 2 games without reaching base.
Really?
That happened over the weekend. He had back-to-back games where he did not reach base, or not over the weekend. It was actually prior to the Giants series that it happened, because Friday he homered. That was the one run for the Cubs. That snapped him out of a 2-game slump. That is his longest slump so far with the Cubs, 2 games without reaching base.
And he, that doesn't surprise me, because, he was just, when the Cubs went on that seven, I believe.
And then they could not quite get to 8.
He was lighting it up during that streak, and it's bringing me a little bit of hope in this Cubs team, because I'm not going to lie to you, I thought the Cubs organization was over after all those trades and all these new guys coming in, because I wasn't really entirely sure on who was coming in and being the new face of the Cubs, but they got something going on. But I remember, like, what you said earlier today was just that the Cubs, obviously they had a great run against the Twins, the Reds, and the Pirates, but that's the bottom of the bottom teams. But it was good to see where the Cubs set themselves up with as the Giants, the top team in the Major League right now.
Yeah, get to kind of compare yourself to, like you said, the top team, best record in baseball right now. So just kind of see exactly where you're at. Obviously, they got swept, but they battled. Even that Friday game, they lost 6-1, but they battled throughout. They led at 1 point, 1-0. They scored first before the Giants scored 1 in the sixth, and then blew it open in the seventh. So and to that point, Kyle Hendricks went 6 innings in what was arguably his best start of the year for the Cubs, and then the bullpen gave it up. So there's still questions, especially with the pitching on this team. That's going to be a major issue, a major question moving into the offseason. I'm sure they have the money to spend. I hope they'll spend big on pitching, another starter or two, and then some bullpen help as well. But outside of that, the core guys, maybe not for the long run, but at least for this transition stage of the Cubs, they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Schwindel, Wisdom, Ortega, they're all 29, 30 years old, but those can be your transition guys until Brennan Davis gets called up and these other guys, Ed Howard in a couple of years. And Brennan Davis also got recently promoted last night, got promoted to AAA, so now he's right there. He's right on the cusp of the majors.
So my question to you is, and I'm pretty sure we've asked you this like a couple weeks ago. But so, yeah, like obviously it looks like they got their core guys set. So do you think that the Cubs will spend the money and go for a solid pitcher, like a great pitcher in the offseason?
I don't think they take a top-tier guy. If I'm them, you're not going after the top guy. You're not going after Max Scherzer, who, congratulations on reaching your 3,000th career strikeout.
Yeah, that's...
And nearly a perfect game in that one, too. They had him going through, I believe, 7 perfect innings.
I heard about that, and that's unreal.
Yeah, to have a perfect game and your 3,000th strikeout at once, that would have been incredible.
Yeah.
But congratulations, Max Scherzer, on your 3,000th strikeout. I don't think they go top-tier pitchers.
Okay.
I mean, even though he's aging, he's still the favorite for the Cy Young probably this year.
Okay.
Scherzer is, so I don't think they go for him.
Okay.
But maybe that next level, that tier two guys, those other guys that won't be quite as expensive, and maybe you can get them not on a 5 to 7 year deal, but a 3 to 5 year deal. I could definitely see the Cubs going after a better pitcher at a 3 year deal, just so you have someone to complement Kyle Hendricks in there, and it's not just him,
right,
with all these young guys.
And that's just kind of like, yeah, exactly like you said, the struggle right now is all they got right now is just it's Hendricks, and they're still like trying to figure out that bullpen. So I don't know exactly who I would say to go get pitcher wise, but I mean, I would expect them to get like a solid, not like you said, like a top, but like a solid pitcher to just kind of bring in that consistency and just to get some help in that bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, the bullpen, of course, you're going to struggle a little bit with the bullpen. That's what happens when you trade your top three relievers at the trade deadline in Kimbrel, Tapera, and Chafin. So naturally, there was going to be a bit of a drop-off there. But now it's just letting these young guys pitch. Cody Hoyer's been pretty good out there in the pen for the Cubs so far. Manny Rodriguez, not so much. So it's finding out. I mean, they're still all young, so just letting them adjust and then finding out maybe this guy just doesn't have it for us, and you let him go, you bring in someone new, and bullpens are finicky to begin with in terms of one guy can have a great year and then just fall off the next year. So bullpens are always changing.
Right, and one pitcher that's been standing out to me lately is Steele.
Yeah.
Because despite him having taken the loss in yesterday's game, as that was a close game, it's just he's been like a surpriser to me as well. So it just gives me a little bit of relief to see that they still got some solid guys left.
Yeah, they have some hope. Justin Steele, Keegan Thompson, two guys that they're trying out in the rotation for the rest of this year, see if they could be a starter. They had success in the bullpen. So, yeah, just continuing to evaluate, continuing to develop these guys. And Steele, by the way, a crazy stat. He was the first Cubs-grown pitcher, so a guy that the Cubs drafted to get a win for the major league team since Jeff Samardzija.
Oh, wow.
So that's talking like 2013.
Wow.
It's been a while since the Cubs have brought up their own pitchers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been some time since a Cubs homegrown pitcher has done something for them.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, on the other side of town, White Sox had a key piece return to the rotation yesterday. How did it turn out? We'll let you know next on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
Red left.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention we'd be slowing down when we pass the court where those fine brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
Alert! Alert! Be gone, maxed out credit cards, overdue loans, suffocating interest rates, and relentless collection agencies. If your credit rating is making you and others around you cringe, there's only one thing to do, and that's to turn to the professionals at Creative Credit Solutions. Even if your credit is less than perfect, we'll help you get back on track. You can do it, and we can help. Call today or visit creativecreditsolutions.net for your free credit check report.
Blow the Whistle on SportsTownChicago.com. Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. as we talk NFL.
The game plan was really sound.
In the quarterback league, it has been, it
Garrett Dillon.
Franchise-defining quarterbacks.
College football.
Will Jim Harbaugh make it through the season as Michigan's head coach?
Some more Big Ten talk.
And here's some things you wouldn't expect.
I would have never expected that.
Get all of that and more on Blow the Whistle on SportstownChicago.com.
Two out for Garcia.
The 0-2.
Garcia, center field. Verdugo back. Who needs a 10th inning? Sox win 2-1 on two strikes.
A little unlikely thunder off the bat of Leury. How about the boys around home plate?
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That's right. Credit to NBC Sports Chicago with that call. Walk-off winner for the White Sox, Leury Garcia, with the walk-off bomb in the ninth. And they avoid the 10th inning as it was a tightly contested matchup against Boston. Before we dive into the White Sox, though, we have a listener response to one of the earlier questions we asked regarding the Cubs core and who would you like to see, Tyler?
This comes from none other than less. Our boy KB Mac Radio, he says, at a team friendly price, it'd be KB for sure. He's always had the most upside between the three of them, but I just don't see any chance that any of the three are back though. I can agree to that.
Yeah,
100%.
I mean, yeah, we both agreed. Chris Bryant would be the guy. KB's the guy if you can bring one back. But yeah, the looks of it. I mean, he's with his hometown team and just kind of the send off. He got emotional and everything, which makes it, I mean, he loves Chicago. He said it, but just kind of the send-off that he had, it makes it seem like they wrapped it up. They put an end to that story, to his time with the Cubs.
Just kind of just stomped on it and just, not like in a bad way, but like, just kind of like put a pin in it and it was like, that's your time with us.
It's one of those. Does he get that? Obviously, he had a great time in Chicago. A lot happened, but it's one of those, do you go back after that? I don't think you get that emotional if it's not the end.
No, I don't think so. I think that's what was kind of hitting Chris Bryant. He kind of knew I had my time with the Cubs, and he loved every minute of it, but the chances of it coming back, I don't. Yeah, I think he knew that too.
Yeah, I agree. Well, moving on to the South side, though, the White Sox playing the Red Sox. Battle of the Sox, and both teams playoff bound at the moment, at least. The Red Sox tightly contesting for that last wild card spot, or rather the either wild card spot. They're both just right there in terms of the wild card. White Sox, on the other hand, basically have the division wrapped up. They'll be in the playoffs and get to take on, as of right now, it would be the Astros in the first round of the playoffs. So a tight match. The White Sox did not get to see their old buddy Chris Sale as he was scratched from Sunday's start due to COVID. But Carlos Rodon came back and pitched for the Sox on Friday. Lance Lynn pitched on Sunday for them. Lynn, 9 strikeouts. He pitched great. Showed a little discomfort at times. But those are two important pieces to the success, the potential success in the postseason for the White Sox.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. Definitely like the key parts, key players into the Cubs' success. We're on the South side. In the White Sox' success, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, one of those guys, though, Carlos Rodon, a pending free agent at the moment. So if he does become a free agent, since you did throw it out there as a Cub, that could be a pitcher you go for. He's not that top-tier guy that should be super expensive. He's having a great year, so that'll drive up his price, but a guy that the Cubs could take a look at.
I mean, I definitely, as a Cubs fan, I would not oppose on shopping around for Rodon.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've seen he is very good pitcher, and I mean, hell, just repeat it with swapping pitchers, as we know that Craig Kimbrel got traded over to the South side.
Yeah, so, I mean, you take Kimbrel, we'll take Hoyer, the Cubs got Hoyer, and the Cubs now maybe take Rodon back in free agency? Just a thought. Since you did say Cubs pitcher,
we'll just have the North and South side just kind of borrow each other's pitchers.
Foreshadowing. Yeah, there we go. I mean, Yeah, it'll be like the old time with Cy Young and everything, the Cleveland Spiders, who have the record for the worst team in all of baseball. It's still the major league record, worst season ever, where the same owner owned both teams and traded off all the top players from the one team to his other team, including guys like Cy Young.
Yeah.
As the other team just fell
apart. I
remember
you telling me about that, and I just thought that was so odd, but yet hysterical.
Yeah. It'll be a little more difficult to do because after that happened, they did make rules that you can't own more than one team in the league. So it'll be an under-the-table kind of thing. Manfred might get suspicious if the Sox just start trading Abreu and everyone to the Cubs. But
yeah. might throw some red flags.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean,
will we complain? No.
Yeah, Rick Hahn get concussion or something?
And yeah.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. I don't think that'll happen, but we'll definitely see. As for the Sox, though, I mean, the pieces are starting to come back here as they prep for October baseball, as they prep for the playoffs. How deep can this team go? How deep do you see this team going if everyone is back and healthy? Let us know what you guys think. Is this a World Series contender right now, or do they still have a hole that they need to fill during the offseason? Let us know on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. I think they can do it, but they're going to need everything to click.
I totally agree with you. Now, everyone coming back being healthy, I totally think they can do it. They have the talent. They have, like, they're key guys. The biggest thing that I'm going to say, and I've been saying it day in and day out every week, is La Russa needs to trust his bullpen. And I'm kind of more saying this, too, since David's not here to say it. But he needs to trust his bullpen and put Kimbrel as his closer, as where he should be and where he has been so great at. And just, he needs to trust that bullpen. And when he does that, that pitching is going to be lights out.
Yeah. Well, White Sox, their magic number down to 9 again, all but guaranteed a playoff spot at this point. They do trail Houston, though, in terms of who would be the 2 seed in the American League right now. So that's a battle to watch as both those teams also trail the Rays. Rays currently the top spot in the American League. It'll be interesting to see how it comes down, what it comes down to in terms of who's hosting who and how it all goes, because the White Sox are a better team at home. Most teams are.
Yes.
But the White Sox, it's kind of dramatic difference from home to road. And then it's not Rockies dramatic, but it is a considerable difference. But still, the fact that they struggle against top teams. So that series against Boston, that's a good win, a feel-good series win for the White Sox.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've been struggling against the top teams throughout the whole season. So them taking this series from the Red Sox is a good start-off point and a good little booster to have going into the playoffs, because they're going to have to realize they're not going to be dealing with the lower half of the teams. They're going to be dealing with the top of the tops, and that's how they're going to have to play it out and understand that they're going to have to play a little better and harder.
Yeah, I mean, they lost 2-3 in Oakland, but they took 2-3 from Boston, so kind of, again, 500, which has kind of been the trend here lately. But they finished the season off against a bunch of non-playoff teams, non-contenders, the Angels, the Rangers, the Tigers, a lot of these teams that they should beat. Yeah. So that's a way to build some momentum going into the playoffs. The only team right now that's fighting for a playoff spot that they play is Cincinnati. They play 2 games against the Reds at the end of the month. Outside of that, it's all teams that are pretty much eliminated or have been eliminated at this point. So a chance to build some momentum, but you have to keep in mind, oh, they're winning now. It's kind of like the Cubs. They beat the Pirates and the Twins, but now they play the Giants.
Right.
Same thing for the Sox. Oh, they won. Let's say they win 7 or 8 in a row to finish off September. But now you play the playoff team. So just keep that in mind while you're evaluating the Sox here throughout September.
Absolutely.
Well, That being said, that is all the time we have here today here on Blow the Whistle. A great show. We talk some football. We talk some baseball. All kinds of things. Got our Killing Me Smalls moments out after Montgomery and Nagy and just a lot of things.
There will be more.
We could go on all day, have a whole show. We've said before, just Killing Me Smalls moments.
Oh, yes, but we can.
I had a lot of fun. I'm sure you did as well.
I had a great time.
I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us as much as we enjoyed talking to you guys as well. Again, you can always hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's at BlowTWhistle1. And if you miss any of our shows, we record all of our radio shows and play them back. It's available on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, QuadPod Network, all these different spots that you can go to. iHeartRadio, how could I forget? So many different places. All your favorite podcast sites. You can find us, Blow the Whistle, on all of these podcast networks. So no excuse not to listen to us at any point.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason for you not to listen to the best sports show, best show in general out there.
That's right. And of course, we also do our Facebook Live show as well on Tuesdays. So the next one is tomorrow, 5:30 to 6:30 via the X-Bomb Sports live stream, as well as on our Blow the Whistle Facebook page. We share the stream there as well, 5:30 to 6:30. Be sure to check it out. And our next show on the radio here on SportsTownChicago.com, of course, next Monday from 2 to 4 p.m. It'll be me and Tyler again, as David's still on vacation. So he'll be slacking off. We'll be pulling all the work.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I know. But thank you again for listening, everyone. Once again, I'm Brandon Januska.
And Tyler Buterbaugh.
Thank you for listening. This was Blow the Whistle on SportsTownChicago.com.